Helen Shield on ABC Radio Hobart and ABC Northern Tasmania.
The life of the Tassie Tigers GP, Dr. David Knowles. Hello.
Good morning, Helen.
Any thoughts on tripe consumption?
I didn't think I'd be talking about tripe this morning, but I probably need to be part of the support group for tripe.
Yes.
I've had it once about 10 years ago at Etty's, which is a restaurant that doesn't exist in Elizabeth Street anymore, and I haven't been back.
And not long after that, they closed down.
But I think I'm a big fan of trying things once, so I think people need to have that experience.
That is a bold menu choice, isn't it?
And when you particularly go and eat with a group, there's a little bit of bravado about sort of, yes, we're all going to do this, but as I said, I haven't been back.
How was it presented?
It was with a creamy sauce with onion, as like one of your messages came through. But it's vivid in my mind.
Uh-huh.
And I think we talked about you do eat with your brain a little bit, and I just think once you know it's tripe, it's an interesting experience.
Yeah, you're committed from there.
You are.
In a profound way.
No going back.
What does a cricket team's GP do?
Oh, look, I actually think all elite sporting groups actually have this, as you talked about, a group of people that are looking after their athletes, and it's about keeping them mentally and physically healthy. And look, that's what GPs do on a daily basis, is actually keeping people healthy. So I think, yes, you talked about sniffles, and in a world of COVID, that's been a very big part of our life. I've only actually been doing this job for about 18 months, but we came into an environment where COVID just controlled our communities, but it also controlled elite sport as well.
You got the job about 2 months before COVID arrived
in
Australia.
Yeah, that's right. And we thought we'd be gently into this job with looking after some state games, but clearly COVID changed that. So the first thing we actually were involved with was the BBL, which is an international exposure in front of television cameras. So, I mean, COVID has changed completely how we do things. So a little sniffle, we laugh about a little sniffle, but a little sniffle has significant implications for sport. You can see that through all elite sporting. You can see it with the Olympics at the moment. Amazing seeing all these great sportsmen with stands with no people in them. And I think that's part of what we've done, but it's keeping... There are young men and young women that are... what they want to do is perform at their best. And I'm a very small part of a team that actually tries to keep them healthy so that they can do what their job is, which is perform and train.
It's a little bit grim watching the Olympics with no audience, isn't it?
It is, and I feel grim for the people that built those stands months ago, and here they are. I don't know if people saw the rowing yesterday, and they're rowing down with these completely empty stands. It's amazing.
I was watching a bit of the gymnastics. So, yeah, I've been keeping an eye on things, saw a little bit of the opening ceremony. I feel a little bit robbed as a spectator as well as for the athletes, because imagine what a Japanese Olympics could look like, full scale. Feel like Japanese would build something remarkable.
I don't know if our listeners or yourself, you've been to Japan. I've been a couple of times. They are such a passionate, organised, structured culture. They would have been just such a great experience having them there doing that. That's a sad element to what the Olympics have for Japan and Tokyo.
So would you say your role is more preventative or reactive in health?
Oh, it's both. I mean, I think the role has two parts. One is as part of a team on a day-to-day basis, supporting them, preventing illness, but also supporting them when they do get illnesses as well. And that's part... lots of elite sporting groups now are run by physiotherapists, and that's sensible because they're the subject matter experts on musculoskeletal issues, but they need support from psychologists, from general practice. We've got a really good sports medicine practice in Hobart that supports. So it's really the thing I like about being involved with an elite sports program is being part of a team. Sometimes as a GP in the city, you described that very well in the introduction, we don't actually work as part of a team. And I think that's really an attractive part for being part of a member of a team. My wife, Alison, says that it's my dream job to be paid to go and actually watch and be part of cricket. I think part of what got me interested is I'm a bit of a cricket tragic. I love watching it, and to actually be involved in that on a professional basis is really, it is probably a dream job.
Have you ever been starstruck by a patient?
I'd be lying if I said no from there. But again, you actually being part of this brand, you realise that, I mean, the Tasmanian program's got probably two of the world's cricket leaders. I mean, Tim Payne, the Australian captain, is part of the program, and Matthew Wade and Jackson Bird. These guys are all elite, not just in Tasmania, but around the world. But again, you realise they're there like the 18-year-olds to actually do their best and be part of a team. So it's you do realise that they are real human beings trying to do their best.
If you're prescribing for a tested sport, for a drug-tested sport, does that spectre of Shane Warne's cold tablets all those years ago, does that just hang over you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, but I think the players and the team are actually so well educated about that now. They don't do anything without running it past the medical team about occasionally accidents happen, but most of the time they're actually nothing happens that without someone checking it. Clearly, Shane Warne, I mean, people remember Shane Warne because of that. I remember him because of that ball he bowled to Mike Gatting, but in the Ashes. But yes, I think that spectre hangs over everyone, and everyone's worried about that.
Given you are a cricket tragic, do you get a uniform as the GP?
I have to tell the truth here. Yes, that's my family, so that's why I'm actually part of it, because I actually do have a Cricket Australia uniform. Partly because the Big Bash League is, we actually are covering both teams and we need to be neutral. So what they've done is provided a Cricket Australia tracksuit, which my children laugh at me all the time.
Sure. Mm. Why do you wear zinc cream to be a doctor, Dad?
Well, they don't criticise me about the zinc cream. They criticise, because clearly in the last 18 months we've all been wearing masks at games.
Uh-huh.
Dad, I've seen you on television and your mask is on incorrectly. Can you fix that up, please?
Oh, come on. You've got to get that right.
I know. The criticism's for teenage children.
Have you ever done, speaking about very specific and then broader GP roles, have you ever done a remote gig where you've just been doing a bit of everything?
I've done some locals on Flinders Island. That's probably as remote. Probably I did my GP training in Western Australia, so we did go north for short periods. But it is, I think being remote is such a wonderful experience, being part of a community. And yes, you have to do everything and the risks are high. You talked about delivering babies for that, but it is, I just think it's being part of that community is such a wonderful exposure.
Great. And good morning, Flinders. Do you get back there sometime?
No, I'd love to get back. It is just a wonderful place. You can go to the most beautiful beaches I think I've seen anywhere, and there's no one else on them.
David Knowles is a local GP, and he is also living the dream and is the GP to the Tassie cricket team as well. Have you got a small craving for tripe that's kicked in at the end of all of this?
No, I still need to be part of that support group.
All right. Well, thank you very much for being part of Sunday Morning.
Oh, thank you very much, Helen, for having me.
Have you in.